A very good morning to one and all. Today is Mother's Day, so it is appropriate for me to share from God's Word a message for mother. And so I have entitled the message to mothers, a message of comfort. And I trust that the Spirit of God will speak to us, especially to mothers, and bring much comfort and encouragement to all of them. We live in days when there is a mighty zeal for good education in every quarter. We hear of schools innovating and trying out new systems and programs with the hope that its students will produce the best results in all levels of examination and bring glory to the school. Indeed, our children are given the best education they could get in any educational system. But it saddens our hearts to see that despite all the education they receive, the vast majority of them, or of children, is manifestly not trained in the way they should go. And this brings greater disappointment to parents. There are many hurting, weeping, broken-hearted parents in the church today. Many of them have worked very hard to provide for the social, emotional, mental, and physical needs of their children. But to their utter disappointment, they still go astray. They have become rebellious and wayward in their ways. They have no respect for their parents. They shout at them, ill-treat them, ungrateful and rude to them, and show no appreciation to their parents for the sacrifices they made for them. We parents often wonder why our children are behaving like this. Have they ever spared a thought for the pain they inflicted on us? Do they bother to find out what we are going through in order to nurture them? How often do they make an effort to understand our predicament? Do they know it takes every ounce of our energy to bring them up in the society? Parents often share with me their woes of bringing up children. One daunted father shared with me about his struggles in bringing up his teenage child. She attended Sunday school and teens fellowship regularly. One day she became rebellious. She stopped attending church activities. She would not listen to her father's counsel. She would go out every day and come home very late. The father chided her, but it did not help a little bit. She would challenge his authority. The father had lost his God-given authority. Why are our children behaving like this? What is the cause of the problem? Is it not enough of education? I don't think so. Nowadays, parents register their children for playgroup or kindergarten even before birth, or way before they start their education. Is it not enough of love for them? Maybe. Is it not enough of quality time spent with them? Perhaps. But I believe the key cause of it is the failure of parents exercising spiritual leadership over their children. Parents have failed to educate them in spiritual things and encourage them to pursue spirituality. You know, Dr. William Leon Felt of Yale University aptly said, "A knowledge of the Bible, without a college education, a knowledge of the Bible, without a college education, is better than a college education without the Bible. Got it? So when our children become rebellious, who wait the most? Mothers. That's right. Mothers wait the most. When our children go astray, who hurts the most? Mothers. And I believe mothers would agree with me. Hurting mothers are praying mothers. Now, I'm not saying that fathers don't pray for the rebellious children. What I know is that mothers often cry to the Lord for their children's waywardness. Eli the high priest had two wayward sons who did not know the Lord. You read that in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Sadly, there are many pastors' children do not know the Lord also. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, Eli said to his sons, "Why do ye such things?" What things? Well, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Why do these such things? Well, Samuel chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. 22, it says, "Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his son did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the floor of the tabernacle of meeting. How they lay with the woman." I hope you understand what it says there. Committing sexual immorality in the church, in the temple. And Eli heard about it. And then in verse 23, "So he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. Why do ye such things? Committing a sexual immorality." But then we read that this is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. You read that in chapter 3. All right, chapter 3, verse 13. Here we read, "But I have told them that I would judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows." That means God said that. God would judge Eli's house for the iniquity that he knows. That means the children committing sexual immorality. "Because his son made themselves vile." And this is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. "And he did not restrain them." He did not restrain them. He did not restrain them from committing sins. Eli did not go far enough to stop them from sinning. Here is a picture. Here we see a failure of a father failing to exercise his spiritual authority. Now let's turn to 1 Kings. All right, 1 Kings, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, then 1 Kings, chapter 1. Here we read about the fourth son of David, King David, Adonijah. And Adonijah desired to become king. He planned to usurp his father David as king. And the Bible tells us David knew about it, but he did not rebuke him at any time by saying, you read that in verse 6, "Why have you done so?" In verse 6, "Why have you done so?" Here we see another failure of a father who did not exercise his spiritual authority. Now, during this time, Samuel was serving in the temple. He could have been influenced by the son of Eli, but he was kept from the condemnation because his godly mother, Hannah, had been praying for him. And so again, you read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, you read about the terrible things that the sons of Eli did. And then you read about the contrast in chapter 2, verse 23. Or rather, yeah, chapter 2, verse 23. Let's see. Are you such things? I think in verse 23, it says that, you see the contrast that but, the word but there. I will find it up later. So the point is that Samuel was protected by his godly mother through prayer, through godly counsel, through the word. Now we have some modern examples in church history. For instance, the great Augustine was a playboy. He lived a very lustful life. As a young man, he decided to go to Rome. Rome was a place where his godly mother, Monica, felt sure that he would be totally destroyed. Rome was a filthy place, full of immorality and so forth. So she besought God with tears not to allow him to go to Rome. She also sought counsels and prayers from the bishop of Carthage, Ambrose. And Ambrose said to her, "Leave him alone. Just pray to God for him, and he will of himself discover his error." She kept begging, but the bishop said, "No, no, leave him alone, and you just pray." And he comforted Monica with these famous words, "Surely the son of so many tears will not perish. Surely the son of so many tears will not perish." Like Job, who rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings on behalf of his children for fear that they might have sinned against God or curse or disown God in their hearts. Monica prayed for her son day and night. The Holy Spirit of God haunted him, followed him, and drew him to himself. You know, the moment that we pray, God begins to work. And the Spirit of God begins to move. And one day he was in a garden in Milan, weeping and calling to God for deliverance from sin. Suddenly he heard the voice of the boy from the neighboring house, repeating in a kind of chant, "Take and read, take and read." He took the New Testament and read Romans 13, the last two verses. "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Then Augustine passed from death to life. He was born again. He became a Christian. Just last week, I spent a week in China teaching the Word of God, in Pinghai, teaching the Word of God. There I experienced, or rather I saw, first century Christianity. The believers were full of love, warmth, zeal, and devotion to Christ. And many of them are not educated people, especially the ladies, the women. And this particular sister, who could not read, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ but could not read, asked her unbelieving husband to copy scriptures for her so that she could read. And as a result of that, copying the scriptures, the husband became a Christian. You see, God worked in a mysterious way. You never know how the Spirit of God moves in the hearts of a person. You may be praying for a wayward son for years. I've been praying for my own family members for years, my brother, my sisters, for years. Until today, they have not acknowledged Jesus as Lord and Savior. But each time I talk to them, they listen to me. So you never know. George Mueller prayed for two friends. One of them came to know the Lord before he died. The other one, he prayed for 60 years, and then he came to know the Lord. And that's what happened to Monica. She prayed, pleaded with God for Augustine. And God, in his appointed time, saved him. So Monica was a good example of a praying mother. So mother, if you have a rebellious son or daughter, pray for him or her. Surely, the son of so many tears will not perish. Now, incidentally, a brother, a deacon, Ronnie, had written a very good tribute to mother, and he had used certain examples, which I also have it here. So it's a double confirmation that the Lord wants us to learn, you know, and be encouraged and comforted by these examples in church history. And so more than 255 years ago, there was an old godly woman who prayed for her son. The son's name was John, and he had run away from home in his teens to become a sailor. This godly mother has been disappointed to hear reports that John had become a very wicked man, indulging in the lust of the flesh and involved in the notorious trade of slaves in Africa. But while she lived in poverty and wept while working as a washerwoman, she believed in two things: the power of prayer and the reformation of her son. She continued to pray very hard for his salvation. God answered her prayer by working a miracle in the hearts of John Newton. He was gloriously saved, became a preacher, and brought thousands of men and women to Christ. And he became the author of the famous hymn, we all know it, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. In the 18th century, England, there was a woman named Susanna Wesley. If you go to London today, you go to a Wesley Center, and across the road, there's an old graveyard called Bunhill Field. There you can see the grave, the tombstone of Susanna Wesley and other people like Isaac Watts, John Gill, the famous commentator, and so forth. And she was a mother with 17 children, very productive. Though she was also a pastor's wife and extremely busy, she made it a point to spend 1 hour each day shut up alone with God in her room, praying for her children. Later on, two of her sons, John and Charles Wesley, gave their lives to the Lord as preachers, brought revival to England, and became the famous founders of the Methodist movement. And we all know that today we are singing a lot of hymns written by these two saints. So, Mother, God is not disregarding your prayers. The story of St. Augustine demonstrates the power of one humble woman's tearful prayers. So those of us, or those of you who have wayward children, whose children perhaps have left home, or perhaps are still at home and breaking your hearts, please do not imagine that the tears you shed for them are overlooked by God. And let me comfort your heart with these words from God's word. Every single teardrop you shed for your wayward child is never overlooked by God. The psalmist says, Psalm 56, verse 8, He puts our tears in his bottle. Every tears that you shed for your wayward child, God knows. And the Bible says that he collected it in his bottle. So therefore, be encouraged in the Lord. Now why are there so many rebellious, wayward children in the Christian family? The answer is straightforward. The lack of spiritual leadership that leads to the lack of family worship. Family worship is not for little children only. Perhaps some of us may think that family worship is only for little ones. No, family worship is for adults also. And so if you have grown-up children, they are not to be excluded from family worship. Today, when I conduct family worship at home, my children will join me. Of course, one is overseas, but the other one, 27 years old, man, he will join me in family worship. And we will read the scriptures, we will share, we will pray one for another. So family worship is not only for children, but also for adults. Now, why is family worship necessary? Family worship is a means of Christian development. Family worship provides an open door for family sharing and prayer. Now, if you were to read 1 Samuel chapter 1, you know, though the word win is mentioned 3 times, there is no record how Hannah nurtured Samuel. But being a godly woman, she knew what God expected of her. She knew verses like Deuteronomy chapter 6 to 9, the passage that we just read. Therefore, despite the lack of information, we can safely conclude that his mother must have taught him the Holy Scriptures. But how do we know? Well, remember Samuel was in the temple serving the Lord. And remember God spoke to him 3 times? So Samuel's spiritual sensitivity was tested when the Lord called on him 3 times. And that shows that Samuel was walking with God. If a person is not walking with God, he cannot hear the voice of God. Remember in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. You know, in this world, there are so many voices. Your voice, Satan's voice, the world's voice, people's voice, so many voices. But do you hear the voice of God? So my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. And that's what happened to Samuel. He heard the voice of God 3 times when God called on him. And that shows that he had been walking with God. Now, what is the cause to spiritual insensitivity? We read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 11. Hebrew warns us against spiritual insensitivity. You read that verse, the writer says that you have been dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Why are we dull of hearing? Well, we read in Luke chapter 4, remember the 4 kinds of soils? And the 3rd kind says that the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures of life, all these dull our spiritual sensitivity. So if you indulge yourself in all these things, you will not hear the voice of God. But if we like David in Psalm 27, verse 4. His only one desire is to be in the presence of the Lord and to fellowship with God, to commune with Him. And that is why God said, despite David's two terrible sins, David was the only person in the scriptures that says that he was a man after God's own heart. And you read in Acts chapter 12, no, verse 22, God said that this man will do my will. And indeed, in verse 36, David actually accomplished the word of God in his own generation. So from here we can see that though there is no record of how Hannah nurtured Samuel, but we know that being a godly woman, she taught him the word of God. Now God's word says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruits of the womb is his reward." Now children are God's gifts to us, parents. And if you read Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have a God-given responsibility to nurture them in the way they should go, and not in the way that they would go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. Another good example was young Timothy. He had a godly grandmother and mother. So from young Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So never belittle family worship. Never belittle Sunday school or whatever. Continue to teach our young ones the Word of God. So parents, are you doing your part in bringing up your children in the fear of the Lord? Are you influencing them by examples? You read in Acts chapter 28, Paul met the Ephesian elders. And in verse 28, he said that you must take care of your own spirituality before you feed the flock of God. And the lesson there for us is that we must feed parents, we must feed ourselves with the Word of God before we feed our children. If we do not feed ourselves with the Word, we are not qualified to feed our children. So, are you influencing them by examples, like doing your devotion, prayer, setting a good example before God and before men and before them? Do you uphold them in prayer before the throne of grace? Now listen to the warning given in Proverbs. You read Proverbs, there are many warnings to parents. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Truly a foolish son is a grief to his mother, of his mother. A child needs constant guidance because of his foolishness. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. There is a danger of leaving our children unattended for or looked after. We read in Proverbs 29, the rod and reproof gave wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Mother's love is never ending and sacrificial. Like the woman in Proverbs 31, her love is praised by her husband and her children. They will rise up and call her blessed. But she is not like mothers, all right? She is not like mothers who seek charm and beauty. Now, I'm not saying that mothers cannot put on makeup, okay? All right, she is not like mothers who seek, all right, charms and beauty. A Christian hairdresser loves vanity. She went to Korea for cosmetic surgery. The surgeon dropped his surgical tools a couple of times. The hairdressers began to sense God's disapproval. But despite her fear, she said to herself, "Because of vanity, I will still do it." Well, will you mothers do it for vanity's sake? Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Thank God, my dear wife is still good looking. After how many years? 35 years of marriage. But he says that charm, all right, is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And that's the kind of mothers that we're looking for. Not every day spent 20 kinds of different kinds of cosmetics or powders, put it on the face, maybe 2 inches thick, or what, I don't know. So we look for that kind of mother. And we thank God that many of us are that kind of mothers. Mothers are everything to us. Mother is everything to us. And here's why. To mom, I'm hungry. I'm cold. I'm hot. Can I have? Where are you? Can you ask daddy? Can you help me? He hurts me. She hurts me. I want to go there. When are we? Why are we? Why can't we? To mothers, we say all this. To father, where's mom? And I hope that all of us, children especially, can identify with this. I can. Even up to today, I ask my son, where's mom? Everything, you know, my wife become my mom. Everything I will ask her. So children especially, what word means the most to you? To me, it is the word mother. Now here is an acronym for mother. M-O-T-H-E-R. M for the million things she gave me. O means only that she is growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. And H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. And R means right, and right she's always be. Put them all together, they spell M-O-T-H-R. A word that means the world to me, and hope it is to you. So children, may I encourage you today, and not only today, to give your mom a heart, a kiss, and tell her, Mom, I love you. I appreciate all that you have done for me. Forgive me for my insensitivity towards you all these years. So I want to take this opportunity to wish all mothers, loving mothers, or mothers-to-be a blessed, you know, Mother's Day. And may the Lord encourage our hearts, especially mothers, as you continue to fulfill your duties as mothers before the Lord. Let us pray. Father, this morning we want to thank you for our mothers. Truly, they are sacrificial in so many things. Their love is beyond our understanding. We want to pray for them, O Lord, that you continue in your own way, Lord, to encourage them, comfort them, to strengthen them, to help them in every way to carry on their duties as mothers, and for us children, that we may be sensitive, Lord, to their needs and be appreciative, Lord, for all that they have done for us. So we ask of you, O Lord, to bless our mothers, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, bless them richly, protect them and keep them, and grant them good health and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.